Welcome to Beyond the Frontline Podcast, where your hosts, U.S. Air Force veterans, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson, will help you transition from the front line to the home front. Listen every other Wednesday, as they will bring great conversations, resources, tips, and feel-good stories that will resonate and relate. Now, here's your hosts, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Beyond the Frontline. We are one of these veteran podcasts underneath the Coming Home Well network of podcasts. And I am joined in studio, as always, by the one and only my dear friend, Miss Donna Hoffmeyer. Donna, what's going on?
Lordy. Hello. Hello. This is Jay. I was just joking before we came on that we meet now on Zoom. Our lives are so sad that we don't even meet in person anymore. Jay and I, like years ago, now we can say it, years ago.
That's true.
We used to, when we had a life, or maybe no life, I don't know, whichever way you want to look at it. We used to sit out at our favorite lunch place at the Rooted Fork. If you haven't been in Cibolo, you should go. There's a plug.
Downtown Cibolo, Rooted Fork.
No kickback. Good place. And we would sit on the porch for like, because they have this awesome porch, for like 2 hours and have lunch. And now we meet on Zoom.
Well, you know, well, I'll make an excuse real quick. I mean, part of it's more me than you probably, but we're not meeting at the Rooted Fork right now because it's below 50 degrees. And I'm
True.
Right. When it drops below 50 or maybe 40 here in the Central Texas area, I'm thinking to myself, how much further south do I have to move exactly? I mean,
Mexico's calling.
Yeah, maybe that could happen in my future.
The islands are calling. Wait, what's the islands right off of the Galveston area?
I don't, Bahamas, Jamaica, I don't know.
I don't know either. I have no navigation skills at all. The last person, I follow the blue line on the GPS. That's all I do.
I wouldn't mind ending up in Belize and doing a little snorkeling and scuba diving with whale sharks. That actually appeals to me a lot. And I would love to actually scuba dive with a great white, as long as they could promise me I'm in a cage that can't be penetrated, because I just saw a video on the news like 2 days ago of a young boy in the, I don't know, Bahamas or somewhere. It was called walking with sharks. So they do something to weight you down. He's on the bottom and he got bit. And they showed the video. And I was thinking, if that was a great white, that would be a bad outcome for me. So I got to figure this out, Donna.
Be like half a person if that was a great white.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's. And well, there's a whole lot of me, though. Our listeners can't see me. That's a good thing, because I've been slacking on my exercise, and I have a insatiable love for food and beverage of choice.
Well, I would say that Sherry was keeping you in line, and then y'all started those barbecue cook-offs. And
that's true. We did. We did the San Antonio Rodeo barbecue cook-off last weekend. And in fact, this day last week, I was up at 3:45 to go out on the cowboy breakfast, and I thought, who signed me up for this?
That would be one Sherry and one Delisa.
Sure. How about you, Donna, real quick before we jump into a really exciting episode with our guest today? What's going on in your world?
Children, they're everywhere. I've got one that finished basketball, one that finished powerlifting. Both of them are starting track and field.
And of course, theater was in.
Yes, I have to shout out to my daughter, because this is her. So she has been in drama club for 2 years. The first year she had they call the ensemble. So there's no speaking. I mean, there is, but she has no name, right? She might say a couple words, but there's no actual role. She's just part of the group of people that are hanging out in the background. And this year she had a speaking role. They did Midsummer's Night Dream, and she was Puck. I'm sorry, she was not Puck. That was another girl. She was Bottom.
Okay.
She was the donkey, right? And and so she had her first speaking role.
That's cool.
And they had two competitions. And the first one, she won honorable mention for All-Star Cast. And then she came home and she's like, I've got a couple things I need to work on. Did you record that? I said, I recorded some. And she's like, I need to slow down my talking. I need to do this. Oh, and did you see that death scene, Mom? I'm like, yeah. She goes, I improv that. And I was like, you should keep that, because everybody laughed, right? And then she did it again, like 3 days later, 4 days later, and she won All-Star cast member. So
that's what I saw you post, and I thought that was very, very cool.
So yeah, shout out to my daughter Bianca. She's a rock star, and drama suits her, not only because she's 12, but because she's very animated.
Yeah, teenage drama is tough to put up with, but drama is in acting and being on stage. What a beautiful thing. She's going to thrive.
I tell her, this is what I tell her. I said, you should never change who you are. I said, but you have to know where the volume button is. So I said, sometimes you need to turn it way down in the environment you're in for whatever reason. And other times you can turn it up to medium or way up high. I said, when you're on stage, put the amplifier in, turn it up high, let's go. Like, let it all out.
Yeah. That's good advice. That's good sage advice from mom.
There you go. That's what 5 decades has gotten you. My wisdom. All right, enough about me. Let's talk about our guest, because I got to tell you the story.
I'm excited, yeah.
So, you know, years ago, when you were like getting me into all these different projects, you started this Better and Breakfast, right? And then you went off and did bigger and better things. And I continued this Better and Breakfast on, and it has morphed over the years and whatnot.
You've done great.
Yeah. And so people like now, you know, shout out to Ruth. She knows who she is. So she goes, finds people and goes, Donna, do you know this place? And I'm like, no. And then she finds me a name. And like, I find people all the time because of her.
That's
and
awesome.
So sure enough, she says, do you know about Eagle Rest Reserve? I said, no, I don't. And so she throws me a name, and he's on our podcast now because he came and spoke. It was about fly fishing, and he's going to tell a story, but I will tell you.
I hate that I missed that. Yeah.
It was an amazing, amazing presentation. So much so, just to tell you, that numerous people went up and handed him cash for his nonprofit. Boom, right there. Like 3-4 people in a row. And I was like, and I can tell you, I have not seen that happen before in the 2 years. So
that's nice. That's amazing.
Yes. So a little bit background about Jeff, founder of Eagle Rest Reserve, which we'll talk about. He's worked with other places. He's been involved. He's a chemist. He's a chemist with a personality. I say that all the time.
What?
Yes. but he has a chemist. He worked in pharmaceuticals. He's been around. He's done a lot of stuff. And now he has this nonprofit that he has, that he brings people out on Lake Whitney with this gentleman called Bill Adams. And they come out together and they bring people on fly fishing excursions. But there's a lot more to it. So I'm going to let him talk about that. So without further ado, sir, welcome, Jeff. How are you?
Well, I'm excellent. First of all, thank you so much for that generous introduction. Wow. You know, a chemist with personality. Who knew that existed, right?
That's your next book.
and I wanted to thank you for having me on and for just a chance to tell people a little bit about what we do and how we do it. Gosh, even start?
I think we should start at... I think we should start how you wove yourself from, you know, for lack of better terms, or a little nerdy environment in chemistry where everybody just kind of stays holed up doing their thing, right? I was in healthcare. I know a lot of nerdy people, and a lot of them are very content to be in that own world, right? And so here you are, apparently not content just to stay in there, and how you weaved your way through different things and how you ended up with the nonprofit.
Gosh. Well, let me just start first with, in my nerdy world, I had a good nerdy buddy who was, an avid fly fisherman, like I was, as well as a bird hunter. And we spent many an hour out in the field, as well as work. So we worked together, at a medical facility, medical manufacturing facility. And that's where the chemistry comes in. So we worked together for several years, and then he got sent out to Washington, D.C. And about 6 months later, I see this Facebook post where he's been granted the Volunteer of the Year Award for this entity that does fly fishing for veterans. And it's like, how many times have we been fly fishing? You know, and now you're just now telling me, what is this organization and how do I get involved in fly fishing with a nonprofit? Man, this is down my pathway. I'm all about this. So my buddy Hank says, well, you know, we got one of you can start one of these chapters there in Fort Worth. And it wasn't long before I became a project lead in this organization. Things rocked along pretty good until the world of COVID, which kind of changed everybody's world. And at the time, this organization worked only with disabled veterans. And with the disabled veterans, the thing I got told as an organization is you can't have anything to do with your disabled veterans. And if you know anything about veterans at all, the last thing, especially those with PTSD, the last thing in the world you want for them to do is isolate. And I'm being told to isolate. It's like, no can do, Ghost Rider. got to do something different there. So started with another organization that eventually got me to where my folks around me were saying, you know, you just need to do this yourself. So January, a year ago, we started after being with these other organizations for about a total of 8 years, set up this nonprofit, and we bought some lake property just out on Lake Whitney, and basically kind of built us an operation, a center of operation there, where we could take our RVs, bring people in. We built a little cabin there. Before we go any farther, when I say a little cabin, a lot of people have in their heads this idea of, oh, one of those. No, this is a wife approved, very nice, like a hotel room fishing cabin. nice place for our veterans to come and stay. And we have our RVs there, and we jump in the boat and head out to the lake to fly fish for striped bass. Getting involved in this has been probably the some of the craziest stuff I've ever seen, but it's also been some of the most I don't have a better word except the most healing stuff I've ever seen. And that was a complete surprise to me from, you know, my first introduction to, hey, let's take some guys fly fishing, to, wow, there's some different stuff that I was not prepared for. So anyway, that's the introduction to how I got started. We, our group, are one of the other things that I did with starting my own, organization was we made our loop a little bigger. So rather than just disabled veterans, which we absolutely love and care for, we opened it to all veterans, first responders, medical people, basically any kind of public servant. So the idea is not how we exclude people, it's how do I include people. And if you don't fit in that realm, you're called a volunteer. So we try and catch everybody.
Jeff, I love every bit of it. You had me at fly fishing, number one, but I'm just going to own a block I had mentally. Like, I don't know why, but I've always thought of fly fishing in regards to like river trout and walleye, muskie, you know, those kinds of things. And you said, man, we're out there doing it for striped bass. And I thought, where the heck have I been all my life? Right. So.
And you can bring your camper up.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
Got a place for your RV, pull it in, water, sewer, electricity hookup, 50 amp, 30 amp, right there.
That's amazing. Well, we do love to do that. Donna and her family do as well. So, you know, we may have to take you up on that at some point.
Come on.
Jeff, let me tie back to something you said, though. You said you actually, after you started doing this, it wasn't just about the recreating. You started to really be impacted by the healing. that was going on. Can you share a little bit for our audience about that? Like, what have you seen, and how not only is it healing those participating in this with you, how about you? What's it doing for you?
Oh gosh. Well, let me start with your first question. What have I seen? Okay. Within seconds, as soon as, and I'll kind of stay first with PTSD sufferers, within seconds of them getting aboard the boat, you'll physically start to see a change. And Bill Adams and I kind of always laugh about it. It's like, who you are on the boat, well, that's who you really are. You know, you can, when you get off the boat, you're going to be something different, but who you are on the boat, that's who you really are. And for a PTSD sufferer to get back to who they really are, what a powerful thing. So this PTSD is kind of this negative cycle things that happen. And when you watch that cycle physically and mentally being broken right there in front of you, it's powerful. And you see all the negativity come off. You see them start to laugh and get up and carry on. And then, oh God, when you catch a fish, oh man, you know, it's like, whoa, you know, that it just takes them into a completely different realm, which I want to say right here, because one of the things I missed was one of the other reasons we started our own nonprofit is for this very reason. It broke my heart that I was the only one who saw this. And it's like, if this guy's wife could see that, if his kids could see that, if they could get this glimmer of hope of, hey, there's the guy I used to know. And I've actually had kids on my boat go, who's that guy? I know who I came with. I don't recognize this guy. Who are you, and what have you done with my dad? When we can get people into that kind of place, man, that's that just cooks my potatoes, man. That just makes.
I don't want to step on your thought, Jeff, but I'm just going to tell the audience right now that viscerally gave me a chill, like a positive way, like it that impacted me hearing you say that for someone to experience that kind of change with a loved one or a parent. That's amazing.
Well, that's what we're about. Yes. First of all, yeah, I love fly fishing. You know, you had me at fly fishing. Cool. Yes. I want to say thank you to our veterans, to our disabled veterans, to our first responders, taking them fishing. That's an easy way to do that. But if I can bring their family just a little bit of healing, if I can give their PTSD just a little bit of rest, or their physical pain a little bit of rest, or their mental pain, if I can step them out of that world for a couple of hours to give them some peace and some hope, man, that's what I'm all about.
So when Jeff gave this presentation, it got into, these are the things that he's literally seen happen, right? And so him and I were having a kind of a chuckle when we were pre-meeting that sometimes, you know, the anecdotal stuff comes before the evidence base, right?
Yeah, sure.
And sometimes it's just because it's either not researched well, you know, they don't find the evidence, you know, whatever it may be. So Jeff, if you would kind of tell them what you saw with the Parkinson's patients.
Oh. Absolutely. And when she says Parkinson's patients, I actually just got back from November from actually going to a Parkinson's therapy clinic to teach some of this because it's so effective. The first time I saw this with an actual Parkinson's patient, we were tying flies at the VA. And when we were there, this couple, I saw them getting out of the car in the parking lot. And the gentleman could stand on his own, but he couldn't physically walk on his own. His wife would actually move his legs to get him in the door and where we were was just inside the door, having our tie flying clinic there in the hallway, in the entryway. And this guy sat down and I'll tell you, man, this lady was mad that some of the medical folks there at the clinic said, you need to take your husband to this deal. This is important. You need to take him. And she didn't want to go. I mean, it was obvious. Oh, she had, don't know why we're doing this stupid thing, blah, blah, blah. So, we promptly ignored her, sat him down and started him on tying his first fly. And, we've seen this kind of thing happen before, so I know what to do. I pull out my phone and hit my timer button and just let the clock, let the stopwatch roll. And 3 minutes, 38 seconds into this gentleman tying his first fly, he leans back in his chair and he goes, I'm not tremoring anymore. Now, his wife's about 3 yards behind him, and she goes into full freak out mode. Her knees start to buckle. I thought she was going to pass out. Her chin starts quivering a little bit. Her mouth's hanging open. And she, what did you do? What did you do to him? What, lady, we're just tying flies. that's all we're doing here. We're just tying flies. But she was in full freak out mode because for the first time in a long time, this man wasn't tremoring anymore. And she couldn't figure out why.
Jeff, is that, I assume you're about to tell us, the question weighing on my mind right now is, what is it about that act? Is it the mental focus, the attention to detail, the intricacy of how small the item is you're working with? Or what is this?
Here is what we found. And this is what I find. We'll just keep it anecdotically. This is what we see all the time.
I love the joke. Medical guy. I was educated in Oklahoma, so I always tell people, speak slow to me. Speak slow. Yep. Small words.
There you go. There you go.
No offense to others from Oklahoma, by the way. That's just me. Self-deprecating.
Here's what we found. And here's what I've found in some of my research and talking with medical professionals, mental health professionals. Basically, the brain's divided into two halves, left half, right half. There's a line right down the middle.
Yep.
When you poke yourself in the finger with a needle and go, ouch, that's the left part of your brain talking. Now, doctors will use all kinds of fancy words, abla blue digging bingada, and they'll
just
use all.
Keeping it simple, left and right, just for
left
the
and
understanding.
Right. I can understand left and right. So yeah, basically,
I'm still with you.
Okay. So when you do two things, when you do something that requires a hand-eye coordination and a little bit of creativity, the brain switches from the left side to the right side.
Wow.
You've seen this all your life. Yeah, you watch a football game, right? Two teams out there pounding the snot out of each other, 2.5 hours. Nobody's got to go to the bathroom. Nobody's hungry. Nobody's thirsty. And then they come in, coach, I think I broke my collarbone. Why didn't you know that out on the field? Because your left side that feels pain, that was shut off. That was diminished. Those pain receptors are, brain does one thing, one thing, left brain or right brain, which one are we in today? So when we do something that requires a hand-eye coordination, something that requires a touch of creativity, like tying a fly or fly casting, something along that line, it makes that brain switch to the right side and work. And then when it comes back to the left side, it's almost like an eraser on a board. Whatever was going on beforehand is just not remembered anymore. It's gone. So what we watch happen is somebody with Parkinson's or PTSD, when they're in that mode, when they're in that left brain mode, and they're in pain, in physical pain or emotional pain. And then they do something, hand-eye coordination, little creativity, the switch happens, then those things are just shut off.
Yeah.
Now, for the PTSD guys, when they go back into that, it's like the fresh start, and they'll go, you know, that was some stupid thinking that I had on my head. And it's like, yeah, it was. You don't need to go down that dark road.
Yeah, kick yourself out of it.
You know, yeah. So, how simple is this? It is so simple. I relayed the story that I've got one of my we call them eagles. I got one of my eagles that has a service dog, and nobody taught the dog to do this. But when the dog picks up PTSD, negative cycle, empathy thoughts from his master, he goes and gets the fly rod and brings it to him and sits there like, it's time for you to go fishing because I'm seeing this stuff here. So even the dogs have figured it out.
Jeff and I are joking about, you know, if there's medical people listening, yes, there's a lot more science behind it and there's a lot more detail and all that. We're just talking very generally the right and left side of the brain and what's happening, you know, very simple terms. And so, yes, I'm sure somebody could get into the, you know, lizard brain and medulla oblongata and every other kind of part of it. But for the simplicity of it, you're basically unlocking another part of your brain, and distracting yourself is what you're doing. And when you engage another part and disengage that part that was causing the emotional response or causing the tremors or whatever, you get it to stop, you know, for that time. And so here we are with people that have tremors and Parkinson's, and with Parkinson's, and now they're tying fly ties. Like, they never thought that they could do that because they're shaking. How can I get it through a tiny thing? And he's watching it happen. So, you know, why would anybody make this up? He literally is anecdotally watching people with Parkinson's that have tremors, like making fly ties.
Yeah, my question real quick, Jeff, I know you want to share something here, is earlier you used the word broken the cycle. You're breaking the cycle. Can I maybe ask a question that I'm just curious about? It's not breaking whether or not PTSD or some other thing like Parkinson's is there. It's still there. Is it fair to say what we're doing is interrupting? Right. Is that the same
absolutely
premise? Okay.
Yeah, interrupting that cycle.
Especially for PTSD, because PTSD is a negative cycle that happens.
I got you. Okay.
Something bad happens and triggers it. So now I'm thinking about it, and now I'm getting more mad about it. The more mad I get about it, the more I'm thinking about it, and the more I'm thinking about it, the more bad I get. So it's this. Mm-hmm. It's the and every minute that goes by, the anger gets a little worse.
I got you.
It's a little deeper. So finally, it you know, what'll happen is somebody will act out. They'll beat the wall. They'll drive their car into a brick wall. You know, so there'll be an action that actually comes out of that negative cycle. But if you, hey, Doug, go bring me my fishing rod. We'll break this thing. We'll take a little break.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing to me, Jeff. I love what you are doing. I love how you're even now being sought after, because you just got through sharing that you were brought into a hospital, I think you said.
Well, it's a therapy clinic.
Okay, clinic to show them some of the things. That's amazing to me.
Now, I do want to pass along, we're very much, we are a 501c3, so yes, what I want to do is I want to teach people how to tie flies. And yes, I want to teach people how to fly fish. But right alongside of that, here's a fly tying kit. Here's a fly rod. I'm going to give that to you. Wow. To give you the tools to go do what you can do to help yourself.
That's important. I agree.
I'm not the therapist, but I can teach anybody to fly fish in 20 minutes. You'll spend the rest of your life learning how. But I'll give you the tools. Here's a fly rod. Go. Here's a tying kit. Go. Come on back when you want to, and we'll go fishing. We'll go fly. We'll tie some flies. We'll see some new patterns and do some new stuff. But you don't need me to do this.
I love that.
In order to help yourself, you know.
How do you have supporters or sponsors that help you with the fishing rods and the, or is that out of pocket or?
At first it was out of pocket. We have some private donors, that have been helping us out. This last year, I'm going to put in a selfless plug here. My company CAE, they gave me an award of $7,500 for being the volunteer of the year. So that's a big chunk for us.
Yeah.
that's a lot of, that bought a lot of fly rods and a lot of tying kits. No joke there, paid for a lot of gasoline. So, mm-hmm. But for the most part, we are self-funded, private donations, just grassroots.
Yeah. And you can go on his website and donate, just in case you were wondering. We'll have that up in the summary.
Yeah, Donna does a great job, Jeff, about putting a summary out there that ties them back to any links you have to your business, your contact info. So, yeah, I'll just reiterate right now to listeners, if you're listening to this and are being impacted like I personally am, man, what a great opportunity for you to engage, not only as a participant, possibly if you have some of these things we're talking about, but maybe as a volunteer and at the very least, right? Mm-hmm. All gave some gave all. If all of us just did a little bit and made a donation to this worthwhile company that's making a difference in people's lives, this nonprofit, I should say, is would be impactful. Jeff, I just want to own one more thing. Earlier, I had this mental block and thought too small. So years ago, like early 2000s, 2003 time frame, maybe, I was the Commandant of Cadets at Auburn University. Shout out to Det 5, anybody listening to this. And because I was on staff, they said to the staff, hey, you can take a couple free courses a semester while you're here. And one of them was fly fishing. And I had every...
That's a course?
It's a course, yeah.
At a college?
Yeah, I had every...
I didn't get my major there.
I had every intention, Jeff, of... I had 3 years, and I ended up rolling out of there and never going through it. So to say that I know how to fly fish today would not be truthful. What I do is fly drift, right? I put it in the water, let the current take it, and hopefully something bites. If not, I reel it in, and I start over again. So I got a lot to learn. I heard you say 20 minutes, you can teach me the skills.
How many times have you been whipped by a... I mean, when I was a kid, I grew up fishing. My dad took us fishing. And do you know how many times he lost his hat because of me when I was casting? I took his hat off numerous times. He wore his hat just for protection.
Exactly. Still do it. Yep. Still do it. We wear hat, glasses, for just
body armor.
But yes, whatever we need. But we also, part of what we teach is here's the fly fishing safety. Here's how to, one of the things that we do is we fish from the boat, and everybody's like, how in the world do you fly fish from a boat?
How big's the boat?
People, or three people, or dare I say four people. How do you do that? And it's like, well, it's real simple. The one on the people on the front of the boat and on the back of the boat, you can only cast at a 90 degree angle. So you stand at the front of the boat and cast to one side or the other, all good. And if Bill Adams ever sees a fly come across the middle of the boat, somebody's going to get a chewing out. I'm just...
But how big is the boat?
Oh, it's nice. It's I believe that's a 28 foot. You can go on our website and see some pictures,
wow.
But it's decked out. I mean, Bill did a marvelous job of making sure that he had a boat that's primo set up for fly fishing, and
that's awesome.
Gets out on the water, 250 horse motor. I mean, it'll put you where you need to go real quick. So
that's awesome.
And they're smart too. So when they do this, they do it on a Tuesday, Wednesday Thursday.
Whenever there's a lot of traffic out on Lake Whitney, I'll just tell you flat out, all the fish go deep and ignore all the traffic on top. And long about Monday evening, Tuesday morning, they start getting hungry again and start surfacing to the top, and make them easy for us to see and go run after. And one of our favorite things to do, my favorite personal thing to do, is we chase seagulls
with the fishing rod.
What happens is that the striper feed in a school, and they push all the bait fish to the top, and the seagulls are up there watching. There'll be 30, 40, 50, 100 seagulls diving down on these bait fish that the striper are pushing up. So there'll be this monstrous activity of blow ups on the lake, and then the striper will slash through them and splash on the water. And it's a crazy sight to see. I just love it. So.
How many fish on average do they catch? Does everybody usually catch a fish, or?
The times that people usually don't catch a single fish is what I would call rare.
Let me get up there.
About 90% of the time, we'll have everybody on the boat catch their limit of 5 each.
Wow. You just let me up there. I'll have everybody naked, and because I like ripped the clothes off by accident and no fish. That'll be me.
There's a visual, everybody, right there. Donna casting and removing people's clothes.
Removing clothes, right. Oh, Lord. Fly.
Jeff, that's pretty fun. I know striped bass are not small. Fish. They're big. So,
What's the smallest for limits?
Well, they have to be at least 18 inches long to keep them. Most of what we're catching is 20, 22, 24, 26 inch fish.
That's so decent. You know,
a decent sized fish. We always laugh about it. One fillet, just one side of one of these fish is generally enough for two people.
Yeah, they're big.
So, you know, it's a fun trip.
Do you bring that back to the cat? Well, see, then there's more, Jay. You got to get the rest of this, right?
Okay, so I'm ready.
You get to go out in the boat, and then you get to, you know, do your fly fishing, catch limit, and then when you go back, like, you get to stay overnight, right? So either you're in your camper or you're staying in the wife approved cabin, whichever.
Right.
And then Jeff comes in, and if that's not all enough, he goes and cooks you dinner. So absolutely. Do you use the bass, or what do you, are we eating pasta and wieners?
I like sending the bass home with folks. My specialty and most requested dish is shepherd's pie.
Ooh, I grew up cobbler. With that.
Oh. Yeah. So shepherd's pie and a peach cobbler. And, you know, that's living large in my world. So,
Well, you certainly had me at cobbler.
That sounds all the way up there for that.
So Jeff, the fly, the tying of the flies, I want to get back to that. This is a complex thing, right? You're not just getting a hook and slinging some thread around it. I mean, there's kind of an art to this. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I tell everybody else. When it comes to flying ties, it ain't rocket science. They were using fly fishing long before they were making rockets. So it's so stinking simple. It's not funny. And that's the truth of it, because all you're doing is wrapping a thread around a hook. You're sticking some hair in there. You're sticking some feathers in there. Now there's some things about proportion, getting the right proportion, but you can measure all that with a 6-inch ruler, and that's what we're there to show you how, you know, make it look pretty. But the God's truth of it is, the ugliest fly will catch the most fish. We laugh at some of the fly tires, the really good guys or professionals, because they'll ask you, do you want a pretty fly, or you want a fly you can fish with? Because those are not the same thing.
Oh, that needs to be a tagline. You need that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, one's designed to catch fish and one's designed to catch fishermen, you know, so one's designed, it's pretty versus what works. And it's, you know, it's the flies we use are made from chicken feathers and deer hair, some lead eyes. That's
Well, I don't know that you helped me feel any better, Jeff. I was not graced with looks, and it hasn't served me where it just attracts a lot. So it's good to hear that fish are attracted to ugly flies.
I'm telling you, it's true.
Now, what are you saying to Sherry, that she has crap taste? Like,
we I better not let her listen to this.
I got your back, Sherry. Don't worry about that.
Don't listen. Well, I like
to. Here's what's cool too, because remember this population, right? We are all maturing, and body parts are failing us, like our eyes and stuff. So those are small hooks, and when he's trying to show you, you'd all have to be in his lap trying to see it. So he knew that. And so what did you do, Jeff, to overcome that?
Yeah, I made a big version of all the little stuff. So, generally the hooks that we tie with, they might be anywhere from a quarter of an inch long to half an inch long. Well, the hook that I use to show you this is like 14 inches long and about 8 inches wide.
We're tarpon.
The feathers that I tie on are like the tail feather of an ostrich, you know. I mean, you can see this one.
That's neat.
Probably different kind of space. So.
So these are training aids, enlarged training aids.
Absolutely.
Help them see what it is you're demonstrating. Yeah.
Fly fishing, fly tying for AARP.
Right. I just joined. Don't pick on me. I just joined.
You want to hear a sad story?
What's that?
When I was 48, they started sending me AARP stuff. I was
they're getting you ready.
That's wrong.
They were getting you ready, Donna. I mean,
Jeff, but I don't get it now.
Jeff, you or Donna, one, I think at the onset of this, said something, a little thing about a book. What do you got cooking?
Well, yeah, Donna has inspired me. I've had since I've been doing these presentations, numerous people come up to me and say, hey, I need to read more about this. And, you know, like 20 times in the last 45 days, people have said, I need you to get me some information on this. So Donna, in her one of many businesses that she's a master of, has a coaching deal where she'll help me set up and write, get my book written and get it self-published. So
people need to hear it.
She's so good at that part of it, Jeff. That's exciting to hear. So do we have a time frame? Is there a goal marker out there when you're hoping to have this thing wrapped up and released, and or
we
just in the early
stage? We just set up today. Don't overwhelm him yet.
Okay. Early stage. I didn't know if I should be looking, right? I was ready.
We had to delineate out where we were starting. So we just got the starting point.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah, she'll have to, you know, she's the expert in this. She'll have to tell me how long it takes, but as soon as possible. Yeah.
She's going to help you see it across the line, Jeff, because she is.
Right.
She will hunt you down and make you stay on track, give you accountability, right? But she's very good at what she does.
Exactly.
We'll find them. Yep. It'll be fun. I think this is a needed, I think it'll be very beneficial to people on a lot of levels. And and that it's such a neat thing to do something recreational and it be therapeutic. Like, I got a kick out of it when he would say, you know, people are like, well, maybe my dad and maybe my brother or whatever. And he's like, well, you can come up too. And he's like, oh, well, I don't want to take up space. And they're like, oh, you just come as a volunteer. What do I have to do? Fly fish.
Yes. Volunteer jobs at my place are pretty tough. You have to go fly fishing and you have to have a good time and you have to take pictures of people with big, stupid fish with big, stupid grins on their faces.
I love everything.
that's you know, there
I'm
you
go volunteer.
I was waiting for him to say, though, if you come up and volunteer, you get to do all those things he just said and then conclude with, and you may clean all the fish.
But in my fair share of trout, don't worry, and bass.
Well, our guy, Bill, he has this lined out in an artful fashion that he doesn't let anybody touch his knives, doesn't let anybody touch his fish. He'll hand you back a gallon Ziploc bag with all your fish.
So you're spoiled on top of that. You don't even
have to deal. Cotton. Oh, yes, absolutely. That's
dude, your phone's going to start ringing after this.
It
like,
is. Hey. Get ready. Get ready. Hey, Jeff, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Donna was alluding to putting all of your information out on the summary page. What's your greatest need as a nonprofit and everything you're trying to do here to support others, first responders, veterans? What's your biggest need?
I always tell people we need three things, and first we're at mission, you know, we're about the mission. If you got somebody who needs to go fishing, I need the name, I need the telephone number. Usually if you left this podcast and went and handed somebody my number, I'm never going to hear from them. If you tell them, hey, I want to go fishing with you, I want to take you fishing, and then you call me as a volunteer and set it up, they'll come now, because here's a strange guy. Is this a scam? And I get this more. Is this a scam? This is too crazy. This can't be true. Anything this good can't be true. So, you know,
it's interesting. It is interesting that you just made that statement about them doing it on their own. And I'm going to tell the audience, Jeff's not a veteran. Correct, right?
Nope.
Did
correct.
Not serve, right? Nope. So to me, it's even more interesting that you made that comment. If you just hand them the number, they're not going to call. But if you set it up and say you'll go with them and bring them, then they're apt to go. And that is a statement that I have said, Jay has said, we have seen this over and over, that when people are like, look, there's this whole resource page. And I'm like, yes, that's great. And they go look at it. Now, I want you to take somebody that's completely intact, feeling good about themselves, and they might go look and be like, that looks interesting. And they may go check it out. Take that same person that pretty much had their back end handed to them, and they come out of a career in the military, and they might be dealing with PTSD or anxiety or depression, and they're not in a good place. And you put that same list up in front of them, and then you say, go get them. Look at all the resources for you. They're going to get overwhelmed, and they're going to go, thanks, I'll go take a nap. It's not what they're going to do. But if we turn around and say, hey, meet me at this event, I'm going to be there. And I say that out of a little experience. Jay did that to me. He'd be like, hey, I'm going to this, why don't you come? And the only reason I showed up was because he was there. I didn't know anybody. And exactly. So it's a big deal. You know, that's a pretty big deal that you can identify that and never have been a veteran, never been through that. So kudos to you for that.
We've seen a lot. So, you know, first thing we need are, you know, bring people fishing. Second thing we need is you as a volunteer to go get them and bring them, because a lot of them, that's the only way they're going to come. And of course, if you can't send me one, if you can't come yourself, then send money, you know.
You got to tell them your story, though. There's $100 story here. You have to understand the story.
That's a cool story. So I was taking some veterans out on a fly fishing weekend. And right before I went, stopped at my local gas station, and was putting gas in my truck, and it filled up and clicked off. Click, and right at click, it was $5,000, $50. And it's like, you know, I couldn't do that again if I tried. So go out, have a great weekend, come back in, gas tank is empty. So I'm getting ready for Monday morning, stop at the same gas station. And lo and behold, clicked off $5,000. And it's like, it was kind of like a red light moment for me. You know, it cost you $100 to do this. If the people I know, if the people that care can send $100, man, what a difference that would make in taking care of our veterans and first responders. A fly fishing setup like we use is generally about $100. The fly tying kits that we give out are $100, and a day on the water, $100 in gas. So what we have is for everybody that does that is I have a little poker chip that it's basically thanks for getting your chip in the game. You know, you're fueling the healing that that can happen for those who've served us. So that's really what we're about.
I love it. Well, I'm going to get my chip in the game. I'm going to certainly go out to your page, Jeff. I love art. I love what you all are doing. And man, you educated me today. I'm going to leave this podcast informed and aware and now in a better place to say to somebody, come along with me.
And we'll get you fly fishing, Jay. I mean,
well, I look forward to that. That part will be fun too.
You know, you confess your sin that you had all this opportunity to go.
You're on the hook now.
I'm glad you didn't disown me and just leave the podcast, Jeff. I'm glad you stuck it out.
It was tough. That's
right. Now it's literal. You're on the hook. Pun intended.
I love it. Count me in. I'm in.
All right. Well, I think we've definitely talked all angles of this, and that's a lot of personality and a lot of good things coming from a chemist. I think that's impressive. I tease him all the time about it. I just think I'm like, wow, you got such a big personality.
Yes. Yeah. Very warm, genuine. Yeah, Jeff, it's fun. I'm so glad that Donna met you and arranged to have you on. It's really good to see you and to get to meet you and a lot of fun. Thank you for sharing your heart today.
The only thing left to do here is bring your RVs, come and hang out at the river and come and hang out at the lake, and we'll go do some fishing.
I like it.
We need to look at that. Mm-hmm. I'm liking it. Yes. All right. Any last quotes or thoughts there, Mr. J?
I just kind of shared how impactful it was. I hope that all of you listening also found a lot of just pearls of wisdom and were touched like we were. And so, you know, let's support Jeff. Let's support the cause, the nonprofit. And man, hopefully some of you listeners will reach out to him as well and say, I'm in. And now, Donna, no quotes today, right? I have a lot of them always. I'm speechless today. That tells you how much of an impact he made.
Wow, that's impressive, Jeff. He's made him speechless. Kudos to you. Dang. All right, everybody. So from all of us here Beyond the Frontline, we are very thankful for our audience and all our listeners. And, you know, the same thing we say, like, share, smash the button or whatever, all those cool little taglines that they're supposed to tell them that I always forget. Just like us, engage, email us. We love to talk to people. And you know, if you can't, just share it and just listen. We're happy for you to just listen. So from all of us here at Beyond the Frontline and our parent podcast, Coming Home Well, we want you to have a wonderful week.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Frontline, a podcast of Coming Home Well. Join us every other Wednesday. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review.